Yes, in this house, boys are boys and girls are girls. And they only meet to recreate after marriage. And there is no freedom to kill babies. You can be sure that I will not perform any same-sex marriages. Put me in jail and throw away the key. You won't see me doing that. I would love to have everyone who was in a same-sex relationship come to me to talk about getting married, because hopefully they'd get saved and delivered. Every now and then we just have to lay out the truth, you know. Don't want you to wonder what I think when it comes to that. It's God's bigger than all the nuts. He just is. And God is working. He is working. He's working. He's working. Remember a few weeks ago we talked about everybody's going to die, but God doesn't just throw us away. He's always working for a way to bring us back. He's always working for a way. He's still working in those people's lives. Just like he worked in our lives to bring us to Christ. I was sharing at the jail, because they need to hear that, but I was just sharing about the fact that even the people who were praying for me couldn't believe I got saved. I can understand that, because sometimes I can't believe I got saved. But God works and works, and he works and he works and he works, and you are the most important person on this planet to God. You are. It's like Vicki said. She heard that and she said she knew that was for everybody. It isn't just for one, but at the same time, it's a great encouragement to one. And then it's a great encouragement to anybody that will receive it. You could say something like that and some people would say, oh, she thinks she hears from God. If that thought ever comes to your mind when you're sitting here, raise your hand, we'll pray for you. Because God talks to everybody. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. He speaks. Even before we knew it, he spoke. And, you know, if someone thinks, well, God doesn't speak to people, and then they wonder why he doesn't speak to them, work it out. If you don't think he speaks to people, you're not going to hear him speak to you. But that doesn't mean he's not speaking. And so we need to be encouraged. Listen. Listen up. Listen. We need to be encouraged to listen for the voice of God. No. We can't sit by the mirage of, I'm good enough. Or, well, I don't understand, but since I don't understand, God won't hold it against me. Find some place to understand. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. We know these things. We know these things, but we need to do those things. We need to do those things. We need to seek. We need to listen. She needs to stop. Thank you. She can be attentive. She watches good stuff all the time. And she's attentive. So we'll train her up in the way she should go. So that when she grows old, she won't depart from it. I want to go out loving God more than I do today. I want to go out knowing God more than I do today. There's still more. I'll be saying there's still more. With my dying breath, if there's anybody near, they will hear me say, there's still more. I have enjoyed the goodness of God. I will continue to enjoy the goodness of God. I will continue to rejoice in the goodness of God. I will continue to declare God is good. Right? No matter what, God is good. We know this because God said so. Because Jesus reaffirmed it and said, well, only God is good. So there's a gooder than we know. There's a good level that is bigger than our knowing of the good level of God. Just like there's a deeper level of friendship than we know. And so if we're more than a friend, then let's find out where that level more than a friend is. No matter what. No matter what. Here's the thing. If we don't continue to seek God and press into God, we'll stop. We will stop. When we cease to make an intentional place for Him in every part of our life, we'll stop. And when we stop the flow of God. It's of Him and to Him and through Him. It's Him in you. Him for you. And always Him above you. We have to bring these things to our remembrance so that we bring these things that we know to the remembrance of other people. So that we are prepared to plant the seed that the little hole has been dug for. If you dig a hole in the garden and you throw a handful of seeds, one of them's probably going to land in that hole. It takes a handful, sometimes a bucket full, in my case, a dump truck full, for it to grow, I guess. I don't know. I do not understand how God does what He does. I can think of a lot of scenarios, and those are good things. Scenarios are good things to think about because you come up with the ways that God came into your life, and when you come up with the way that God came into your life, guess what? He might come into somebody else's life the same way. Just saying. Therefore, Hebrews 12:1 says, since we are surrounded by a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let's strip off every weight that slows down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let's run with endurance the race that God set before us. Strip it off. Strip it off. Be honest with yourself about the things that so easily beset you. And strip it off. And if we are continually stripping it off, if we are continually paying attention to it, then we will be free. Say, I want to be free. Everybody's got something they need to be free from. Everybody does. Everybody does. Everybody's grumbled or complained. And if we grumble and complain, we normally have to justify it to do it. Because, well, in some cases we just make an exception. Well, if we can make an exception in one place, we can make an exception in another place, and in another place, and in another place. For God is working in you, in Philippians 2. He's working in you, and He's giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. He's giving you the desire and the power to do it. He's giving you the desire. In you is the desire to please Him. And He doesn't leave us powerless to please Him. We have a desire, he puts in the power, and we can do it. He put a desire in our heart to please God. I want to please God. Do you know that that pleases him when you want to please him? It does. See, that's the change that God makes in our life. We want to please God. Doesn't mean we quit wanting to please our flesh. It just means that pleasing our flesh doesn't measure up. And so when we go against that desire in us to please God and please ourselves, we're just not comfortable. What a good deal, what a great deal, what a wonderful deal he gives us there, that we aren't comfortable in our sin. Whatever it is. Sin is anything that goes against the knowledge of God. You don't want to have to cross, don't have to want to cross-dress to sin. But obviously, the people that are doing all of those things aren't really comfortable doing them, but they're trying to make everybody think that they are. So they're doing them and killing themselves. The suicide rate is up huge. Why would they kill themselves if they're just the way they want to be? Why do people get mad at God if they're just the way they want to be? We talked about Bill Johnson's wife, Benny, died, and Bill gave a message, you know, and basically what he said, look, who am I? Who am I to tell God how to do things? Who am I to be angry with God? And there's a lot more to it, but, you know. Who do we think we are? I told you, one guy said, when I get to heaven, God's going to have to answer for some things. I said, oh, dear Lord, get smart. God don't have to answer for anything. You know, cut off your tongue before you say things like that. Well, no, don't. Well, I'm just not going to go easy on that. You know what he said? Well, I figured that's what you'd say. Well, good. I'm glad that I didn't disappoint you. I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, you just never know about God. Oh, I just don't think, you know, I'm really sorry God doesn't do everything you want him to. Shoot me before I say something like that. Seriously. Grow up and love the Lord and praise the Lord and exalt the Lord and magnify the Lord. And don't be afraid to say, I don't know. I just know God is good. He doesn't have to please me, although he does please me. If my desires are lined up with his desires, I'm pleased with God. Because we're not pleased with God for what he does as much as we are for who he is. And when we love him for who he is, guess what? The pleasing things come into our lives. It's a pleasure to be free from being bitter. It's a pleasure to be free from unforgiveness. It's a pleasure. It's a whoo, the chains fall down. The power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Yesterday I was filling with gas out here, and I'm standing there filling, and I'm talking to the Lord. I don't know what I'm doing. All of a sudden there's this lady standing beside me. She shows me a big gold ring and some good-looking gold, a gold chain, you know. And I'm thinking, oh boy. She says, could you buy these? She's from Saudi Arabia. She said, can you buy these? I've lost my credit card. I don't have any money for gas. I said, it's real. Look, it says 18 carat. She stuck it in my hand. You have it. And it was heavy. And, you know, and I'm going, look, I can't pay you what it's worth. You know? I said, I got 20 bucks, but I'm not going to take those for 20 bucks. Well, it's worth 800. I said, that's why I can't take it for 20 bucks. You... give me 40, give me 40. I said, no, that's not enough either. That'd be stealing. I can't steal it from you. And she went and got back in the car, and her husband was driving a really nice car, and maybe they did lose their credit card, but they got this far. And so, but I'd have rather she asked me if I could help them out with some gas. And then when I saw the car, I'd say, I think you got your own money. No. But it just wasn't going to be. And honestly, I was thinking, well, hey, she wants to give it away, I'll take it. Even if it was fake, it would look good to me, you know. But I didn't need it, because if I came in walking around with a great big gold ring and a big gold ring around, red chain around my wrist, they'd say, boy, he's really ripping off those Hosanna folks. But God is working. God is working even through something like that. And I said, hey, God bless you. I planted a seed. Because God's working. He's working. I'm so glad that he works in my life. I'm so glad the Holy Spirit convicts me. I'm so glad that he will keep me from excusing myself from the will of God. We really pray that it would just heal Christy. Totally, you rode your bike over today. Yep. Well, Lord, heal her up so that ride's a lot more comfortable and the end of it's a lot more comfortable. The power of God's present to heal. Absolutely present to heal. Because God is working. He's always working. Always. So he gives you desire, your heart's desire. You're no longer comfortable. You can't be comfortable sinning. Any size. God deals with everything because it helps us. Because it's for our good. Because when we're pleased with him and we're pleasing him, we have a real relationship. We have a true friendship. He's not just our Lord. He is our Lord and Savior, our friend, our one who stood in for us, who took the bullet for us. He still is. And so he works in us to remember. And if God did such a great thing as to give Jesus and everything that Jesus went through, if he did that for us, truly, what would he withhold from us later? It's just very, very simple. He paid a price. If we'll pay the price, he'll pick up the tab. I'm not talking about your lunch tab, not talking about your motel tab or anything like that. I'm just saying that he works. He will get it done. And he puts in us a desire to get it done, to get our relationship done. I'll button that for you now, honey, so don't distract you. But he works. He works for you. He works in you. And he works through you. Keeping you from drifting away. That's a goal, to keep us strong, to help us stay, to be staying in the family of God. To recognize that just because, you know, some people say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am, and God knows just the way I am. God does, but he doesn't intend to leave us that way. Thankfully, he doesn't intend to leave us that way. Thankfully, he intends to keep us going and keep us growing and keep us strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Things are not always going to go perfectly for us, but he's always perfect. And the difference when we are in love and in trusting with God, when things aren't perfect, we look forward to perfect. And even if we have to go all the way out to heaven, we know it'll be perfect then. And just that is a good reason to stay, because we don't know what day we're going to go to heaven. But we want to make sure that we are going. And we go through Christ. And we go by putting our trust in him. And as long as we put our trust in the Lord, it's not about how perfect we've become. Remember, it's how perfectible we are. If we will respond to that nudge of the Lord that is working in us to do the things that please him. Because that's where our freedom is. We are never, with Christ in our hearts, we aren't comfortable making excuses. We aren't comfortable justifying. We might do it, but we're not comfortable. Just not. It should not be comfortable. It should change in our lives. And we don't do what pleases God in order to please God. You understand what I'm saying? We aren't just doing it to try to please him. We're doing it and we are pleasing him. And so we have this great cloud of witnesses. And so they just say, lay aside. Drop it. Get rid of it. You don't need that extra weight. You don't need that thing encumbering you. You don't need that popping up. You need to be in a place where when those things pop up, we pop them down. Like that little kid's toy. When the thing pops up, pop it down. And even a little kid's toy, they have them like at sideshows and places like that, and you pop them up. You go and you try to get the thing to stay down, and you get the thing to stay down, you win. Probably got it on one of them games that people pay on. I know they do. They play on the phone, you know. You're trying to keep them down. Trying to get this done. Trying to get that done. People will work hours and hours and hours to gain nothing. Except maybe points if there's more people on it. That's okay. If that's what they want. But here's the deal. We have God working in us, and what's working in us is we recognize the Holy Spirit comes and says, you can do better. Holy Spirit says, nah. And we say, yeah, no. That's right. No. I'm not like that. That's not me anymore. Some people say, well, that's just me and God will understand. No, it's old things have passed away. You're a new creature in Christ. We all are new creatures in Christ with somehow there's resurrection power in the old person. Boom, up it comes. Knock them down. I don't want anything that was me. I want everything that is me now. And God is working in me, and he gives me the desire to do what pleases him. How fortunate is that? How fortunate is that? That God came into our lives and we don't want to sin anymore. We really don't want to. That's not our natural desire. But the enemy smoothes people. You know? It wasn't overnight that churches began to approve same-sex marriage. They smoothed it in. And then they made them afraid to do what was right. And because they made them afraid to do what was right, then they had to be proud of doing what was wrong. What a sad, sad, sad thing. And then multitudes just followed along because that's where they've been hanging out. Wouldn't want to go to a place and get life. No, we'll just sit here because, well, God will understand we're not for abortion. God will understand we're not for all this stuff. Then what are you doing keeping company with it? Oh, the joys of sins forgiven. Oh, the joys of a heart established in the Lord. It is not a regrettable thing to be a Christian. You didn't give up anything to be a Christian. You didn't give up anything that was worth anything to be a Christian in comparison to what you got in the family of God. There's just no comparison. Abraham lost everything and he said, well, I came into the world with nothing. What if I don't go out with anything? And ultimately he picked up the double. And Job, people want to talk about their Job time. I said, man alive, if you've got a real Job thing going, dance and celebrate, dance and celebrate, dance with joy before the Lord. I mean, know the story of Job. Know that he stayed faithful. And even though he caught just a little bit of a redirection from God who said, where were you when I made all of this? I can't seem to remember you being there advising me. Help me here. Help me here. And when he gave Job a lot of stuff to think about, Job said, oh man, I knew about you. But now I know you. We all got places where we know about God, but we maybe don't know Him. We all got things that we have said are too difficult to deal with, or said that we aren't comfortable dealing with them, or we don't want to deal with them, and we don't need to deal with them because, well, that's just the way it is. And God, in His mercy, He just lovingly helps us to see His ways better. Now, isn't that better? See, because that's what God wants for us, better. He's not just a, you better do this, God. He's a, I want it better. I want you to be better equipped to carry all the blessings I'm going to pour on you. That's what God's doing in our lives. He's equipping us. Because you see, no one can see God and live here. He's getting us ready, man. When we step into heaven, we're going to see Him. We're going to see everything. And we're going to live through it. We're going to live through it forever. God's working all things together to our good. He can take the worst, most baddest, most ugly situations when He opens His hand. It's a wonderful world. So know this, He's got you in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got this. He's got this. whatever it is. And so we can look forward to His solution. We can look forward to how He's going to do it. We can be at liberty to say, you know, I don't know. I don't know how God, I don't know what God is doing, but I know God is for me. And we need to get that so deep down inside of us that then we can spread that seed with such compassion that people can feed off of our belief. They can feed off of our confidence. They can feed off of our joy. They can feed off of our assurance. Now, sometimes the way they feed off might be, ugh. But it doesn't matter. You still got it there. You still got it there. I think I've shared about a classmate that wasn't happy with me when I asked, how's your relationship with God after I got saved? And I knew I could have read her mind and said, who do you think you are asking me how mine is? I know what you were like. But that question to her tormented her. See, she said, it seemed like every time I went to church, I was thinking about that. And by the next time I actually got to see her, God had changed all that. See, you never know. You never know just what all those good things that God is working in your life, what they're going to accomplish. Be moldable. Be soft clay. Be desiring. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. I want to be like you. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are working in us. Thank you that you have given us a desire. Lord, we receive that desire deeper and deeper and deeper. There's nothing anywhere, anything that ever will be more important than you in our lives. Mold us in, mold our persons into our spirit's desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.